Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're on, and this is the Camp Report for August the 1st, 2024. If you want to participate in these Camp Reports, meaning you get to ask questions of us, and I have a special guest that I'll introduce in a second, you can become a member of our Discord, and you do that by going to discord.gg/onlyfins, and you become a member there for $3 a month. And I'd like to thank Prize Picks. This is year 5 with them. Use the promo code 3YARDS. That's the number 3YARDS. You deposit $100, you get $100. 5 years running. A great sponsor of ours. And of course, betteredge.com/5reasons. You get $20 just for signing up. And how can I not mention our store with all our designs? You want to check out what we have up there, and you can check out our prices. They're competitive. They're better than competitive. They're the best anywhere. Look at our designs, compare everybody else's designs to ours, and then look at our prices. And we sell the very, very best. We don't sell none of that. And we've heard it. You know, the cheaper brands of t-shirts. No, we use Bella Canvas. It's the highest end. What do you say to a $19.99 t-shirt? Or a $17.99 t-shirt? Go check out our McDaniel Tua 2024 t-shirt, which is kind of our hit. It's a hit. It's our sequel to our original Miami Tua 2020 t-shirt. You want to check out all of our designs, you go to onlyfins.printify.me/products. Check out the pinned tweet at the 3 yards per carry Twitter account. Now, I always do a rundown of my notes from the practice. We're not going to do that today because we're not going to waste the time that we have here with Kyle Krabs. We could get to it right away. Kyle, what did you think of practice today?
I was relieved to see how crisp the offensive execution was, particularly in the last three team periods with the first team after what had kind of been a clunky couple days. I think that was the biggest big picture observation to me is first team offense out there, or the players you would assume to be on the first team offense. They had themselves a nice day, a pretty efficient one at that as well.
All right. And somebody asked in the chat, so I'll get to it right away. Devon Achane had the orange today. And the reason I don't want to see him ever win it again is because his playlist today was awful.
Just if you like mumble rap, you would have loved today's practice.
You know what? And I don't mind one song, you know, maybe it's, you know, with a catchy beat or whatever. That's okay. But 40 of them in a row? Yeah, not for me.
It was not my style either.
Yeah. A couple of things, some housekeeping. It seems like Mike Florio should get on a plane immediately, or if he has Mike McDaniel's number, he should call him and tell him to scrap the entire playbook and tell him that he's wasted the last 2 days of this team's time and his time, because the entire playbook is illegal, according to Mike Florio now. So, season's over, Kyle. Your thoughts on that?
I don't even understand, like, you were never allowed to be in forward motion at the snap.
No.
And I guess it's his argument that the Dolphins out motion, whatever you want to call it. I know what they call it. I know what other teams call it. If it's sudden, then it's emulating the start of the play, and then it counts as a foot. Like, that's the only way anything that was put in there would be of any threat or consequence at all to how the Dolphins and other teams have run that motion this past season.
Yeah, I don't get his, you know, him thundering away at Twitter at Dolphin fans, because evidently we're in our feelings because they've outlawed our season. They've outlawed our offense. So we are no longer allowed to have good offense. And doom and gloom, it's over. Everything's over.
That's Mike for you, though.
Anyways, Liz, a few more instances of housekeeping here to round it out before we start getting into the actual play of today. Remember, we're not doing the rundown of my notes. We're going to have Kyle here. We're going to take full advantage of the 25 minutes that we have with him. My player of the practice, you know, I have an idea. I told you who I think deserves it. But since you're the guest, you're going to get to pick it. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to pick between three guys. I thought Jaylen Waddle was really, really, really good today. He did drop one pass on an in-cut that was kind of a bang-bang play. It's hard to discern who was at fault for not having the completion there. Storm Duck, I think, had one of his better days. Noticeable, two BPUs. I guess the same guy, too, Breland Sanders. I don't know what that says. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that says something about Storm Duck or it says something about Breland Sanders. But
maybe a little bit of both?
Yeah. He's been very, very, very good. And I thought this was, you know, although Tua did the day he signed his contract, the day before he officially signed his contract, did have a great day. He was spot on today. Two long touchdowns, another dime on what would have been a sack. You know, Zach Sealer had the sack, but it was a dime to Tyreek Hill for about 52. I thought he was really, really good. So those are your three that you get to choose from. Hand out the practice player of the day for today.
So I know sometimes the thought process with the orange jersey extends beyond a single day of practice. Is that the thought process, or is it just the practice player of the day? I want to understand exactly what my criteria is to pick from here.
Just the practice player of the day. Just what we saw today.
I think I'm still going to go Jaylen Waddle.
Okay.
He's had a really, really strong stretch of play, and he ran an excellent route on Jalen Ramsey in one of the mid-red zone reps. Ramsey batted the play up because of elite length by Jalen Ramsey on that individual play. But just the route running that he has illustrated and how complete he looks as a player and getting reps and going against Miami's best corner in the process, I will give the love to Jaylen Waddle.
That's fair. Tua will have to wait another day. So Jaylen Waddle is your practice player of the day. All right, let's run down some of these position groups. Is it just me? And I know it's not just me because it's everybody's kind of mentioning it. But should we read into how far ahead Skylar Thompson is of Mike White so far in his play this training camp? Do we have a new backup quarterback?
I think anybody that would tell you that Mike's had a better camp has not watched him perform. And I was pretty adamant last year that Mike was the right player to be the backup, but Skylar, he's still not super efficient in the same way that Tua is in the same offense, which is obviously catered to Tua, but Mike looks a little bit more fish out of water, in my opinion, this year so far in camp. I mean, there's been struggles with throwing off platform or when he gets deeper into his reads and having to drive throws, making the progressions. I think Skylar has outperformed him. And when Miami gets down to cuts, if they're going to carry two because of the new practice squad emergency third quarterback, and they want to have that conversation of who is the better player to serve as the backup, does the conversation turn to the economics of those two players? And if it does, that's another feather in Skyler's cap.
All right, moving on to the running backs. Jalen Wright going to contribute this year, or what we're seeing is a one-way ticket to the practice squad, as others with more experience are the ones that are going to be suiting up every Sunday?
Jalen Wright, I think he's going to end up having some level of contribution. I think he's, and I know that they didn't have pads today, so it was just shells, but he looks the part of an in-between the tackles runner. And I think eventually, maybe not early in the season, but that's okay when you have Raheem Mostert and Devon Achane and potentially Jeff Wilson if they hang on to Jeff Wilson. I think he should not feel any stress to have to play immediately, but I do think he is going to end up this season carving himself out a role, because I continue to see him executing a lot of these inside runs and the confidence and the cut ability that he has in those plays is I think, undeniable as far as a back of his stature.
All right, moving on to the wide receivers. And I think this is a cause for concern. We spent most of the offseason lamenting, at least we did on our podcast, the lack of a third receiving option. They went out and they got Jonnu Smith. They added Odell Beckham Jr. We briefly saw OBJ yesterday getting some type of warm-up, or I don't know. I guess it was a cool down from a workout, because he did look a little sweaty. So I guess he was working out inside the indoor facility. But we didn't see him out there today. They've added Willie Snead. Any cause for concern that they can't find the third pass catching option with in-house options, and now they're seeking it elsewhere with the 32-year-old and Willie Snead?
I don't think necessarily that should be the expectation for Willie. Was it last year or the year before that they brought in Mohamed Sanu?
It was the year before.
That's more of what Willie Snead feels like to me. It's kind of an impromptu, somebody familiar with the scheme, a veteran player to come in here. They do have a lot of young guys in the wide receiver room. Now, at some point, you will need to see Odell Beckham get ramped up. It didn't sound like Mike was overly caught off guard by his timeline, so I will take that at face value for now and simply elect to choose that Willie Snead as another player like a River Craycraft who's knows the ins and outs of the offense and all the dirty work that you have to do. It was just another name to kind of bring in here for the competition and you know, they're down some receivers, too. You mentioned Odell, but also Ezukama's missing some time. And Taj Washington's on reserve, injured reserve already. So, this, at least at this stage, I will take with a grain of salt and say, okay, it's another vet in here to help these guys get onboarded, and we'll go from there.
All right, moving on to the tight ends. Are you as excited as I am for the possible 12 personnel packages that they can run with the likes of Durham Smythe and Julian Hill? Julian Hill seems like he's, I'm not going to say he's grown into the position or say that he's actually vastly improved over last year, but I could definitely see the world where they save some money next year by letting Durham Smythe go, and Julian Hill is now the chief blocker among all the tight ends. I like this group, but Forston, let's say, because he seems to drop a lot of passes.
Yeah, Forston hasn't had a good last couple of days. Hill was kind of the guy who was kind of questionable with coming into camp, how much staying power he was going to have. But I think he's shown really well. And John Embry talked before practice today and was very complimentary of Julian and getting past the knowing of your assignment in a new offense last year that seemed to be the mode that he was in and kind of working to tap into some untapped potential in his game. I totally see Julian Hill getting snaps again this year. I expect he'd make the team just because he's got the athletic profile too. He's a small school kid that ran 4.6 at that size, and as physical as he is, there's more to tap into there. And I think they will hold on to him. He's shown well through the first week of camp. I would definitely agree with that.
All right, I love to get into first team, second team, third team stuff, but we can't do that to talk about the offensive line, so I'll keep it to the main issue, which is the snapping issues that they've had so far in camp, didn't exist today.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, it was weird. It was pretty weird. Clean.
Almost like it was like August 1st.
Yeah, pretty clean operation today between the centers and the quarterbacks. Now, what do you think it was? Because Armstead was asked, you know, was it the timing or, you know, was it the operation? And, you know, and Aaron Brewer doesn't have the timing down yet. I asked Aaron Brewer about that, and Aaron Brewer basically told me, no, I'm kind of short. So, so Tua's just going to have to, you know, reach a little bit for it.
Yeah.
Is it as simple as that? Was it as simple as an adjustment of, get a little lower. This guy's smaller than Connor Williams.
Well, so I have a couple questions as far as this storyline. And correct me if I'm wrong, but for notable portions of minicamp and OTAs, Aaron Brewer wasn't like he was doing workouts separately from being a participant.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
And then correct me if I'm wrong, but Tua didn't really partake in some of this stuff. And then at the beginning of camp, he did one day of practice and then held in entirely.
Mm-hmm.
So in live settings with defensive players lined up across from you that you actually have to worry about engaging with, Friday was the first day they did it?
Yes.
So I don't know. It's a new quarterback-center combination, and Teron did explain that Tua was telling him that the snap points are different for every one of those guys. And the vast majority of these snap issues have been Ireland Brown and Andrew Meyer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Liam Eikenberg's hasn't even been snapping. He has not got any reps as center since training camp opened that I can remember, because he's getting looks at guard and they're getting Jack Driscoll some cross training there. And they have the two UDFA guys, and it's Aaron Brewer. Now, Brewer, they were better before the break, too. They only had one.
Let me tell you about Prize Picks. Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. All you do is pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Get in on the daily action with your friends and become part of the Prize Picks community today. Sign up today and get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. One Caleb Williams passing yard gets you one win on Prize Picks every week in September. That's right. Only 1 yard gets you an automatic win every football weekend in September. 4 weeks of free W's. Don't miss this deal on Prize Picks because it's gone when September ends. Football is on the way, so do as I do and make Monday and Thursday night football more interesting. Download the Prize Picks app today and use the promo code 3YARDS. That's the number 3YARDS and get $50 instantly when you play $5. That's the code 3YARDS on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to countrymd.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GUNDRYMD.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Snap issue on Tuesday. They had no snap issues today. This, for me, felt like one of these totally out of proportion first week of training camp issues that fans have just run with and got legs of its own that I think is a normal part of the onboarding process for where these guys were at.
Yeah. Now, to finish up with the offense, I got to get you to comment on Patrick Paul's progress so far. The way I look at it is, you know, a guy is only as good, especially a tackle who's going to be facing the other team's best pass rusher for the most part. His batting average can't be 750. His batting average has to be somewhere in the 950s. He's kind of at 750 facing Chop Robinson so far in camp. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing, but your thoughts on his progress so far this camp?
I think he's looked good, and I know Frank Smith touched on it a little bit today as well, talking about how much more diverse the play sheet is versus what he had at Houston and getting exposed to a lot of that. And I don't think anybody expected him to come in and be an NFL-ready starter in year one just based off of playing in a college air raid offense. But he's looked better than I think I anticipated based off some of the technical questions with his college tape. And he works really hard, so I'm very encouraged. He's not bothered by speed very often at all. I actually think more of the times where he's given up pressures has been with some power type stuff. I know Quentin Bell tagged him on Tuesday for a couple of power rushes. But I'm very encouraged with what it looks like early on, knowing full well that he's only scratching the surface of the time on task that he's going to have at his disposal to help him to remodel his game.
All right, and I like to take credit for Andrew Meyer sending one into the parking lot, because right before he did, I looked over to you and I said, "This guy kind of looks like an NFL player." And then there went that snap. Sorry about that, Mr. Meyer. Moving on to the defense, and let's take the whole defensive line and the edge players all together. You know, what can we say about Chop Robinson? So we won't, because we've said enough. Although, if you want to touch on it, that's good too. But Quentin Bell, it's no secret, he's probably going to play a lot in this first preseason game. But he looks like a guy who's ready to contribute. And we know that Jalen Phillips is probably closer than Bradley Chubb. And I've gone as far as to say that I expect Jalen Phillips to play week one. And I expect Bradley Chubb to probably be on the pup and miss the first 6 weeks or so. So that's just my prediction. But Quentin Bell looks like a player so far. Yeah, you agree?
Yeah, I think his physical presence is really impressive. And I don't know necessarily how much of my expectation I want to set for him as a pass rusher, but with the early down stuff and heavy hands and good length, he checks all those boxes. And I think when you consider they're going to be in a pressure scheme and simulated pressures where they're not going to be afraid to
kind of try to attack protection schemes and not just rely on their four guys up front organically to get pressure, I think there's going to be ample opportunity for those guys. And his emergence is kind of a nice development based on all the questions that we have, because I don't think either of the rookies have underwhelmed at the edge group between Kamara and Chop Robinson. But Quentin Bell, he's getting a lot of run, and he looks the part against guys that have played NFL snaps on the offensive line. So it's an awesome turn of events for the Dolphins in that regard.
Yeah, and rounding off the defensive line, I think that this giant collection of defensive tackles plus Zach Seeler, I think this thing's going to work. They're going to keep them fresh. They're going to play a lot of them. I think this, in short, I think it's going to work. I think they built a pretty decent group. Anything you would like to add to that?
Yeah, I think the thing that stands out with this entire group to me is the body types. Mm-hmm. Everybody is super dense and fairly condensed, as far as they're not Raekwon Davis at 6'7", and big surface areas and high pads and big surface areas for you to put your hands on. These guys play low, and they are all thick, and they can hold the point of attack. And if that's all they're asked to do when the Dolphins go odd fronts and they cover up the interior offensive lineman with a body in each B gap and somebody on the nose, and they say, guys, occupy space, let the guys behind you run free, these guys have the ability to do that. And then when you get into some of your pressure opportunities, you're going to rotate guys in, and I think that's where Miami has depth and will get more depth as they get healthier. So I agree with you. One of the biggest talking points I had out of the first week of camp is, I don't know who they're going to end up keeping out of that collection of guys on the interior, but seeing all of them in person, well, maybe the ceiling's not super high, but you feel good about the floor of that collection of talent.
You get the sense that I do that Calais Campbell is here to play more inside, play three tech, maybe even play mm-hmm. over the center from time to time like he did in Baltimore. And he will not be asked to do what he did in Atlanta. You agree with that?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty safe bet based on kind of where we've seen him pop up. Now, maybe in a games week-by-week situation, if they're short on numbers and they need a little help out there, maybe he can be the base end and kick out over time, line up, head up over the offensive tackle. But it looks like he is predominantly going to live on the interior gaps and be a part of that rotation for Miami, with particularly, I think the expectations should be pretty high for what he can contribute in pass rush looks.
All right, finishing up here with a couple of more, and then we're going to get to all of your questions. We're going to try to get as many as we can, but if we could get them all, we will. Jordan Brooks, did you see that play today? They throw the smoke screen, and he essentially mm-hmm. almost intercepted the thing. That's recognition. It could be cheating. It could be that he's already seen the same set three or four times in practice, and he's like, I'm just going to try to intercept this thing. You know. So maybe in a game it doesn't matter, but he's been noticeable. Out of all the linebackers, and I know I sound like a broken record, I think he's an upgrade over Jerome Baker, but he's been good. Would you say, or you want to give it to somebody else? He's been the best linebacker on this team, this training camp.
Yeah, I think so. I think so, and I think it's the all-around skill set with his length, his burst, his range. He's fit the run a couple of times really well, getting down into traffic. So he's been a very, very impressive player in the first week.
All right, and last thing, I think I'm going to be wrong, because I had Isaiah Johnson as a guy that could make the team as a UDFA out of Syracuse. Long, lean, and he hasn't been bad, and he's going to get an opportunity to play in these preseason games, and who knows, maybe he flashes and gets himself onto the team. But do you agree, and I know this is David Ferones' guy, but do you agree that maybe Storm Duck is the one who's the leader in the clubhouse to be one of those last guys on the roster as a UDFA?
I think out of all of the UDFA defensive backs, that's probably the one that has popped the most. He had a nice day today, a couple of PBUs on Braylon Sanders' targets, including one down in the low red zone near the goal line. But it seems like he pops up at least once a day that they're out there. So I think that continuing trend, if he can parlay that in the games, he's going to make the conversation really interesting.
All right, let's get to these questions before we get out of here. Well, we have to wait until after the Atlanta game to know if the running game and run defense will be on par to last year or better. I'll take this first, and then you could elaborate on it if you want. I don't think we're going to learn anything from these preseason games. All we're going to learn is what kind of defense they're going to play, and you know, a shell of what you know what the offensive playbook might look like. You know, I would expect them to be similar to last year. I would expect the run game to be a little bit better because they're going to be able to get to more formations, more personnel groupings, I think, because the roster is a little bit more versatile. Your thoughts?
I would agree. I don't think you're going to get any clarity on what this team is going to be versus last year until a couple weeks into the regular season. Because they'll probably be pretty vanilla. A lot of times for the preseason games, they don't even game plan for an opponent, right? It's simply we're going to run this kind of stuff in today's game and get across all different kinds of looks and fronts that they're going to give us, and we might not even adjust. You know, if it's you get up there and you feel like it's a bad look to run into, darn it, now's the time to run into it anyway and figure out what we're able to do with it. So I would set my everybody wants every time of year to be results oriented, and the preseason and training camp it's just not time to be results oriented because whatever they are particularly dialed in on, it may not be doing everything in their power to game plan to win a practice or game plan to win a preseason game.
All right, let's get to a couple of more as we're running a little short on time. You mentioned that you watched an interesting install today. Tell us what you can tell us. We can't tell you anything. All we can tell you is it was the sheer number of simulated pressures that they were running. So, yeah, I guess that's interesting in and of itself because last year we saw practices and maybe they devoted 5 minutes to that. Today they devoted something like 12 minutes to that, maybe a little bit more. So I don't think we want to get into that too much. Next question, do you think that this offensive line needs to be able to run the ball to protect themselves and make this offense actually be the explosive thing that we expect it to be? Thusly, that is why sometimes it doesn't always look so great in practice. I agree. Well, this offense is always going to have a lot of run action, so it stands to reason if you have a lot of run actions, you should be able to run the ball as well to get the defense to respect it. Your thoughts?
Kind of the whole identity and ideology of the offense is we want to avoid drop back passing as frequently as possible because there's a sheer talent discrepancy between the athleticism of the guys up front on defensive lines versus the vast majority of offensive linemen. So that's why you see the Dolphins ranking so high in incidences of play action passes. And that is typically, it's not always at its most effective. It's still more effective in a lot of ways than a traditional drop back pass, regardless of how well you're running the ball or not. But yeah, the better you run the ball, the more of a threat you have, the more effective typically play action passing is. And that's why you see all of this backfield speed collection for the Dolphins, because it creates that ultimate horizontal and vertical conflict for second level defenders, which is who they want to manipulate to be able to live throwing the ball off of.
All right, we're going to take two very quick ones before we get out of here. What's your take on the skill positions? Can they keep four running backs, four tight ends, and 5-6 wide receivers? I think you have about right. Maybe drop a tight end. Yeah, maybe. What's your take on Eric Azukama? You want to take any of that, Kyle?
Just a little. At this point, you start to get a little concerned for Eric, who missed all of last year but popped in the preseason. Looked like he had a special package for him. The fact that he's now laid up in camp after the first week is not something that he can afford in a wide receiver room that, well, you do have a question of how many you're going to carry on the 53, and that's kind of an unfortunate development for him. We'll see if he's able to bounce back sooner rather than later, and if he is, what kind of run he can get in the preseason.
All right, the very last question. What is the one thing that you have to see in this preseason to calm your nerves about this team heading into the season?
I don't know how nervous I am about the team.
Neither am I.
To be honest with you. I think the talent level is very good.
in a lot of spots. And I think the depth of the team is better than last year. I think probably you still look at a couple spots and acknowledge that there's been a drop off of top end talent. But I think the biggest thing, what will calm my nerves in the preseason, is the Dolphins getting through the preseason without any significant injuries. That would be what would have my nerves calm going into the start of the regular season.
All right, Kyle, tell the people what they can find and what they can see and what you're working on over at Locked On Dolphins.
For sure. I am doing daily camp reports of my own with my own notes. I had a couple questions for Daryl Bevel and Butch Berry in the media scrums today, which those clips will be up on today's practice recap. Some really great ideological questions as far as offensive install for the Dolphins, and then particularly Tua and how his mobility can kind of help the big picture Dolphins running game, even if they're not calling run plays for Tua specifically. So that is kind of a nice peek behind the curtain for Daryl Bevel there. I am every day I'm down here, I'm doing a podcast, and I'm also over on Substack, Touchdown Miami is what it's called. I'm working on a few stories over there from my time down here in training camp as well.
All right. And if you want to participate in these, we're not going to have Kyle here every single day, but when we can, we try. But you do have me, and sometimes you have Chris, and sometimes you'll have Simon. If you want to participate in these shows, and remember, when the season starts, we go back to doing OnlyFans Q&A live. You can participate by becoming a member of our Discord, and you go to discord.gg/OnlyFans, and you become a member there for $3 a month. Talk to you guys tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to 3 Yards Per Carry. You can subscribe via iTunes, on Podbean, or your usual podcast provider.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.